Blog Talk Radio.
All the sweet from the
Thank you, Father. Your word is yes, yes, and amen. We thank you, oh Father, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Thank you, Father, for that awesome anointed word that you allow Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God. Praise you, O God. Even right now. Try to get this computer right. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for granting us another day, for allowing us to enter into the land of the living this morning, O God, to bow down and praise you, glorify your name. Jesus, we ask your forgiveness and we ask your mercy. It is only you, Jesus, only you that we worship, only you that we adore. Holy Father, we ask you now to speak through us as we yield our eyes, our ears, and our lips to you. We are asking you to use us this day for your glory. And we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor because you are worthy. This morning, we want to talk to you this morning. We want to record this day the word of the living God. And we want to come out of Genesis chapter 19 and Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 18 and Romans chapter 4, Psalm 32, and Genesis chapter 22 and Genesis chapter 15, if the Lord allows us to go to those books, where we would hear from the Lord today. Our message today is when new flesh enters the city, everything changes. When new flesh enter the city, everything changes. Now, you know, you could have a church and you have some members, and the church is like a city. It's like a city on a hill with lights, and you'll have members, or you'll have parishioners, they call them. You'll have people that will come and fellowship, and people that will give tithes and give offerings to the pastor, to the house of the Lord. But then you will have some new people that will come, and we call them new flesh, will come into the church or into the building, and they will come and take a position. They will get gifts. They'll come with gifts. They'll get titles and all this stuff. And when they come, the city changes. The church changes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here in this text in the book of Genesis, we will go start there. We'll start at chapter 19, and we'll go back and forth through these books and see what the Lord is saying to us. Last night, Evangelist Dan Darling Campbell, she talks about destination and reaching your destiny and determination. And you have to have determination and whatever you desire to do, whether it be building a house, building a boat, farming land, or planting seed to reap your own harvest, have your own harvest of vegetation, you have to have a determination. You have to have in you a will that regardless of what's going to happen, it may rain all day. But you say, as soon as the rain is over, I am going to go and plant in the garden. You have to make up in your mind. If you don't make up in your mind to do that, you say, well, I'm just going to delay the time. I'm just going to postpone the time. And if you keep postponing, one time you will see that the weather will change again and you will not be able to plant. It'll either be too hot or either be too cold. So once you get you're pressing on in, and when the moment comes for you to plant, you go plant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the same way with ministry. You have to have a determination to complete what you have begun. God says, I've begun a good work he begun in us. And the Bible says that he said he's going to complete it. He's going to finish the work. Hallelujah. So don't let God be standing there waiting that saying he's going to finish the work, but you're not doing any work. You're not doing any work. All you're doing is complaining. All you're doing is criticizing. All you're doing is worrying about what this body feels and that body say. You got to continue doing what you have to do, even if you got to do it by yourself. Hallelujah. Go ahead and do it. Now, here in the book of Genesis, the Bible says if you go to, we want to start in chapter 19, and we'll go back. We'll go back and forth. And the Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. And tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now understand that God was talking, having a conversation with Abraham early. We're going to go there. And then God see what was going on in the city. God saw what was going on in the city. So he sent two of his high commanders, two of his high-ranking angels into the Sodom and Gomorrah, into the city to check it out. God already knows what's going on in the city. God already knows what is going on in America. America, the presidents and the vice presidents and the Congress and the senators and the Supreme Court Justice Department, the fire department, the police department, the doctors, the nurses, the lawyers, all of the people that are in a high command position, they cannot hide the stuff that they're doing that is detrimental to God's people from God. God can see everything. God sees, he knows, he hears everything that's going on in the earth. Sometimes we think that we're so smart, we're so elusive, that we can do things that God, the great God that spoke this world into existence, don't know what we're doing. Well, I got news to tell you. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself, and it will be work out to be better for you. To think that you are seeing things and doing things, and God don't know. God knows. I was doing a job this week. But since last week, I was working on that job. And I didn't want to go to that job because I worked for that lady before. Because I know she was a problem. She's an African-American woman. She's a problem, see? And I didn't want to go. But the fact that he and I did some work together, from time to time he called me and said, well, try to help her out. And I told him I didn't want to deal with her, you know. And he was helping me. And then he said he had to go somewhere because he had to go make some money from another job. But he leave me with the woman. And it ended up that she became argumentative. And I said to her, just pay me for my material and let me go. You can get somebody that's finished the job. And I just let over $700 and labor go. Just let it go. Just for my sanity, sometimes you have to let go of the stuff that would worry your spirit, your soul. Let it go. Don't let people get into your head, get into your spirit. We used to say in Narcotics Anonymous, we used to say, don't let people live rent free in your head. We all look at our head as a home, a house. Don't let people live in there rent free. Every time you're worrying, you're bothered about what this body say, what this body do. No, don't do that. They're living in your head rent free while you're worrying all the time, and they're having a good time. They're eating ice cream, eating fried fish, fried chicken, and spare ribs, and going to the restaurants and having a good time, and you're at home sunken. Wow. They talk about me. They call me names. They mock me. All this foolishness. Stupid stuff. I ain't got time for that. Money can't take you to heaven. And people sure can't, but they can keep you out of heaven because they can keep you bothersome and worrying about everything that they see and do. Now, the Bible says, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of Sodom. Then Lot saw them and stood up to meet them, and he bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, behold, my lords, please turn aside into the house of your servant and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you can rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the square, in the city. But he urged them strongly, and they turned aside with him and came into his house. And he made a meal for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house, Lot's house, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? You can imagine the people, the crowds of people surrounding Lot's little house. I believe if they wanted to lift it off the foundation, they could. Because the Bible said all the people came. There's young, there's new flesh in the city. They're not concerned with all the other men that's in the city. There's two young men come into the city. They want to have fun with them. Homosexuals didn't just start yesterday. A lot of people think it's a new thing. It's not a new thing. The Bible says nothing new under the sun. It's not a new thing. Homosexual was going on from the beginning. Early. They wanted to have sex with these two men. They asked, where are the men who came to this, to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them. They don't want to know their names. Just know that they're talking about is that they will be able to get intimate with the men, that they could have sex with, a sexual encounter with them. They could rape them. This is what they wanted. Then, but Lot went out to them at the entrance, and he shut the door behind him. Lot take a great chance with all of those men, young men and old men, and all the people was there. He took a chance. They wanted those two men, and he took a chance leaving his house in protection, his covering, and went outside to talk to the people of the city. But in a sense, I believe Lot knew that God would protect him because of his uncle Abraham. I'm talking about when new flesh come into a city, everything changes. These people are not going to the cabaret. They're not going to the nightclub. They're not going having fun out there. They'll leave everything else and come. Everything changed. And they come to where Lot's house was because they want to have an encounter with these two men. Be careful when you leave your city and go to another city. You're not familiar with that city, You have to be very cautious. You don't know what can happen because you are new in that city. I was in Mississippi back in 2017. Spent a little while there. Preach at the church. Share the word at the church of Evangelist Darlene Campbell. And there was a lady that heard us preaching, Caucasian lady, on Blog Talk, and she gave us one of her cabins to stay in. Me and the Holy Ghost. That's who stayed in the cabin. Me and the Holy Ghost. Not me and Darlene Campbell, not me and nobody. Me and the Holy Ghost. She gave it to us. Nice cabin. Big 40-inch or 55-inch flat-screen digital TV. I mean, we're just so nice. Full bathroom, tub, and shower and everything. Just nice. I didn't have to pay one penny. That's what the Lord would do for you when you're walking up right before God. He gave us favor. We didn't have to pay no type of lodging. God did that. Here, but we were cautious about the city because we were not familiar with the city. We heard about Mississippi on TV and so on, but we had never been there before. And we were cautious because we want to come back to our family safe. No, Lord said no. My brothers, please do not do such a wrong thing. See, Lot can tell that these men, they were not right. He could tell that they weren't right. He could tell that they wanted to do something to these two men that was not godly. So Lot told him, don't do such a thing. He says, behold, I have two daughters who have not known a man. They have not had any kind of sexual encounter with any man. Hallelujah. This is what Lot is saying to these two, to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're talking about when new flesh into a city, everything changes. These two men of God, The Bible called them angels. Really, what they mean is that they're messengers of God. These two messengers of God come in because God has seen, he has seen the abomination in Sodom. So he sent two of his messengers to really check it out. God already know. He know what's going on in Sodom. Men sleeping with men, women sleeping with women, all this stuff is going on. God knows it. And we know that Abraham intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to go back there and show you. They're going to do this just like this. The Israelites do. They read from the right to the left. We read from the left to the right. So we're going to go from right to left just like the Israelites. We start at chapter 19 of Genesis. And Lot said, look, don't do this wrong to my visitors. He said, behold, I have two daughters who have not known, have not seen, have not slept with any man. Please. Let me bring them out to you, then do to them as it seems good in your eyes. Only to these men, do not do this thing. Do not rape them. Do not sodomize them. I know what you all do. Since they came under my roof for protection. But they said, step aside, Lot. Then they said, this fella came to dwell as a foreigner, and he asked us a judge, that we shall do worse to you than them. They say, no, the Lord, he is in Sodom and Gomorrah as a foreigner because he wasn't born there. He come from another city. He come from another parish, from another town, from somewhere else. But now he acting like he got control over the city. He wants to tell them what to do. This is how the men are reacting. The Lord said, don't do this thing to these men. Why do you want to rape them? I got two daughters. You can do to them. You can imagine with Lord had to have some serious compassion for these two men, knowing that they are servants of God. He don't want anything. He'd rather give his daughters. Can you imagine that? His own daughters to the men of Sodom to do whatever their pleasure. But the men said, look, just get out of the way. Push it out of sight. Just step aside. And they moved towards the door to get the men. Hallelujah. And they pressed very hard against the man, against Lot, and they drew near to break the door. Then the men reached out with their hands and brought Lot into them. The angels of God, the messengers, now reach out. Whether out, men outside, Sodom and Gomorrah, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, these men are trying to break down Lot's door. They push Lot out the way. But the angels, these messengers of God, reach out from inside the house and drag Lot into the house. Close the door. Then the men reach out with their hands. They brought Lot into them, into the house, and they shut the door. And the men who were at the entrance of the house, they struck with blindness. The angels now became so upset, full of anger. Wrath of God is resting upon them. And they're going to get in ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But they cannot make a move until Lot leave this place. You see, God, Abraham has been talking to God because he knew that his nephew was in Sodom and Gomorrah. God knows all the nasty, filthy abomination that's happening in the United States of America. But listen, there's some locks. There's some locks that in America. You got some men that are willing to obey God, to stand on the front line for the United States of America. They're in the city. And there are people that are outside the city that are interceding men of God, these women of God. This is the reason why America is still standing. You have some people. We got people that was just, I just had a message from India. We got people in different nations that are praying for us, praying for you, praying for your city. That's why you see a lot of stuff is happening. We look at Mississippi. They lost about 29 people. And I remember Darlene was supposed to come on and minister. And she didn't come, so I sent her a message. I said, are you okay? And she said, to me, she said, I'm so sorry. Because I made a commitment to God to come and bring the word, I'll bring the word. But she says, I've lost track because of the weather. They had all their lights had went out for the whole night and part of the next day. So I sent her back a text and said, are all of your family okay? She said, yes, Dad, we all okay. We all okay. They see people are praying for us and we're praying for people. You can see storms happening. We had an earthquake here in Massachusetts. Shook the ground, but didn't lose a soul. Because people are praying. People are praying. Abraham began to talk to God. He had a long conversation with God, going back and forth interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because his nephew and his nieces, all those are inside Sodom. Lot and his daughters are in Sodom. This is Abraham's family. The angels took Abraham in. No, took Lot in, forgive me. They took Lot inside the house and blinded the people that were standing outside, that were trying to break down the door to get to Lot in, to get to them. Both small and great. And they were unable to find the entrance. Then the men said to Lot, who is here with you? Bring out from the place your son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and all who are with you in the city. For we are about to destroy this place because their cry has become great before Yahweh, before God. God sent us to destroy it. Then Lot to his sons-in-law who were taking his daughters and said, get up and go from this place because God, the Yahweh, is going to destroy the city. But it seemed like a joke. You know, we are preaching about repentance and we are preaching about salvation and we are preaching about turning to God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. And people are mocking. They're laughing. Especially when we see it, that Jesus is returning and he's coming soon. One man said, I've been hearing that since I was a little boy. I heard my grandma and my mama, my daddy and my granddaddy saying that Jesus is coming back. He said, I am getting much older now, and yes, that I haven't seen him come. God is long-suffering. He's patient. God give us so much time, more time than we desire to get our lives right. But people rather make fun of God, his coming, and his judgment than get their life right. To turn their whole life over to God so that he can get him a clean heart and the right spirit. The son-in-law, not son-in-law, made light of it. They thought it was a joke. In the eyes of his sons-in-law, they thought it was a joke. They saw that what Lot was saying didn't seem real to them. As the dawn came up, the angels urged Lot, saying, get up, take your wife, two daughters. Forget about your son-in-laws because they're in love with Sodom and Gomorrah, but we are going to destroy it. forget about your son-in-laws. He says, take your wife and your daughters who are staying with you, lest you be destroyed with the punishment of the city. But when he lingered, the man seized him by his hand and his wife's hand and his two daughters by hand. And on account of the mercy of God upon him, and they brought him out of and set him outside of the city. And after bringing them outside, one said, flee for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stand anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And Lot said to them, no, please, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your eyes. And you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Lot is saying to the messengers of the Most High that he may not be able to make it to the top of the mountain in time. I believe Lot said that he didn't have the endurance, the energy, the power to walk up the side of the mountain and get to a place of safety. This is just my belief. Hallelujah. So the men, the messenger of God, begin to talk to Lot. Hallelujah. They begin to reason with Lot because of God's favor through Abraham that's upon Lot and his family. Hallelujah, glory to God. The angels, the messengers are about to destroy Sodom. Lot wants to hang around. Like some folk, all they want to do is hang around and play church. They don't want to become the church. Talking to a lady last night, good friend of mine, and the Lord has blessed them through all the problems that they have been through, and they were able to finish their new home. And she was telling me that how the devil had pressed her and her husband so hard, didn't want them to get in the house. And there was a lot of things going on, and I used to pray with her all the time and say, look, I say, woman of God, you got to just stand flat-footed. When the enemy's coming at you, you can't stand tipping your toe. You can't stand on your heel. You can't stand on your toes. You got to stand flat-footed in prayer and let God fight the battle. But she was telling me, because what I did, I called her. I told her I was working up the street from them. And I said, well, I just passed by because by now the house is supposed to be finished. And I swing by, and the house is so beautiful. And she's telling me, she said, well, you and Nancy can come on by and see how all the change that was made, you know. And I said, yeah, when we get a chance, but it's so beautiful. She has went through so much, so much. I mean, the enemy had come against their marriage. We had to stay with them praying and praying, fighting, fighting, fighting. The angels told them, plead with them. He said, behold, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the mountains, Lord is saying to the messengers, to the angels, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee there. He's talking with this city of Zoar. And it is a little one. Please, let me flee there. It is not a little, is it not a little one? Lot asked the angels. Then my life shall be saved. And he said to him, behold, I will grant this favor as well, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken, except escape there quickly. For I cannot do this thing. Listen, the easiest thing to, no, I can't destroy it. I can't do this thing until you get over here. See, they have a command. They have an assignment from God. But God is protecting Lot because of Abraham. And they have to obey the assignment that God has given to them. Understand? So they are standing still, not doing what they're supposed to do until Lot. Lot is holding them at this point that they can't move to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until he goes to the city. We see right here in, he said to Lot, I cannot, Lot said, I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me, excuse me, and I die. And he said, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And the messenger said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither, till you get there, till you leave, till you get to the place that you want to go. Therefore, the name of that city was Zoar, called Zoar. The sun was rising upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, looked back from behind him. Remember, the angel had given them a command. The woman, Lot's wife, she heard the command. She was right there. The angel had her hand, had Lot's hand, when he gave the command. Because the Bible said that they seized Lot and his wife by hand, his daughter. They held their hand, grabbed them, because Lot was lingering. He didn't want to leave. His son-in-law stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah. They still want to have that fun. See, evil can be so enticing. Hallelujah. Take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. That's what evil, what sin will do. Evil will do that to you. Even though you get the command, evil still has a hold on your mental faculties. We are still focused and doing the things that does not bring glory to God. Because the things that we are seeing, the things that we have been indulging in, had us feel, made us feel so good in our flesh that we can't seem to get away. Let it go and be free. The Bible says, she looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. Now, I said that when you flex into the city, everything changes. The city was going on sodomizing each other in the city before these two young men of God, these two messengers, came in. It seemed like the men of Sodom and Gomorrah wouldn't worry too much about Lot or even his son-in-law. There was something special, something different about these two messengers of God. Maybe they were so tall and muscular and handsome that the fragrance of their body, it was different. They want to sodomize these men because They represent the Most High God. You wonder sometimes why so much stuff is happening to us. And so what other people out there stuff is, they're going through stuff, but not like you're going through, not like I'm going through, not like we are going through. Why? Because we represent the Most High God. We're speaking truth. And Satan is doing everything and anything, like whatever he is able to do or allowed to do, to try to hinder us, stop us from fulfilling our assignment. If it means tearing us apart, Satan will do it. So we don't grow together as helpers one to another. Lot's wife couldn't bear to leave the city because she going out the city wouldn't profit her because the city was still in her. Do you hear what I'm saying? The city was still in her. A lot of times you want to escape the spurt of anger and what's happening, the spurt is already in us. We can't escape it. We still, when we get away from the other preachers, we still find ourselves cussing and saying things that is not godly. But I come to tell you today that God sits high and he sees low. Go to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. When new flesh into the city, strange things happen. Everything changed. Hallelujah. Lot's wife was leaving with her husband. But she wasn't satisfied holding her husband's hand. She had to let go and look back. Hallelujah. And look back. The angel had given instructions not to look behind. Because the angel knew if they look behind, what would happen? Already know. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man who God will not allow sin to overtake. Romans chapter 4 and 8. Romans chapter 14, go down. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, Abraham was full of faith. He was old. His body was withered. He could not get a natural erection. Listen to me. Sarah's body was dried up. She was not having a menstrual cycle. So what was there to hope for? But he had faith in his Savior, in the midst of all that was going on. That's why Abraham had a relationship with God. This is why he could intercede for Sodom the way he interceded, all the way down to 10 righteous men or righteous people in Sodom. He went all the way from 50 to 10. And God was having a conversation with him in relation to saving Sodom and Gomorrah. If God had found 10 righteous men in the city, he would have spared it. He would have sent a signal from his spiritual internet system to his messengers to let them know to hold back the wrath on Sodom. But he couldn't find 10 righteous men. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. See what I told you. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, even though he knew that his body with all dried up, had no sustainability to get an erection. And Sarah's womb was withered. He had faith in the God that promised. God said, I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to cause your body to manifest all the stimulants that it needs for you to have an erection, for you to impregnate your wife. I'm going to cause this to happen. I'm going to bring life back to Sarah's old womb, dead womb. I'm going to bring life back to it. God promised him that. Hallelujah. It's not plain in scripture, but it's there. It's there spiritually. You can see it if you have a spiritual eye to see. It's there. And he says, and being fully persuaded that he had promised what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sovereign Lord, when he promised you something, you know it in your spirit, man. Thank you, Lord. I hear you speaking to me, Lord. Lord, I know you're able to do it for me, Lord. Lord, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I know I'm not faithful in everything that I do, Lord. Lord, I know I don't cross every T and dot every I. But, Lord, I know you know. And I know you're able to do what you promised. May you stand on that word. God won't come true for you. He said, and therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, when you put your faith in God, all your faith and trust in God is counted as righteousness. No, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We got to put our trust, our belief. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to live in the will of God here on earth. You're not going to enter into that realm of holiness until you make a decision to live holy, to be obedient to the words, to the commands, to the laws, to the instructions of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. I can't fight against you, my brother. I can't fight against you, my sister. We're not going to agree on everything, but we got to agree on one thing, that Jesus is Lord, that he is our Savior, that he is our Redeemer, and that we must follow his instructions. We got to love one another unconditionally. We got to agree with that. We can't allow the enemy to come and bring red sticks, match sticks, and light up sticks underneath us and cause us to be discomforted. God has paid our offenses. We just read it right here. He paid the cost of our offenses. But we can't get along. But we want to go to heaven and be in that heavenly choir. We can't get along with the little choir here. The little choir here on earth, we can't seem to get along. All of us are supposed to be part of the heavenly choir, but we can't even get along here on earth. Got to believe in these instructions. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We're in the King James Version, King James book right now. Psalm 32. Such a great word last night, I tell you. Evangelist Campbell was teaching so powerful last night. Jesus, because I work yesterday daytime. So we came on last night. Tomorrow morning, Lord say the same, we'll be here. 32. And blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he. We ought to be blessed, walking in the blessedness of who God is. We are only blessed because of what he's done at Calvary, not because of some stuff, because we went down the water, somebody prayer over us and we repeat the prayer of salvation series. No, we are blessed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us to experience this blessedness that, that King David is talking about here. He said, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The blood covered the sin. We still have sin nature, but we don't have to sin. We don't have to actually sin. Hallelujah. Sometimes we sin in thought. Sometimes indeed in action. But we have to practice not sinning by obeying and following God's instructions. He says, blessed is the man under whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. God does not impute sin in your life. And there's no deceit. See, we talked a lot about deception here on Blog Talk Radio. Because the world now is in a mindset of deception. And we have to pair, we have to pair strict attention to the spirit of deception. Sometimes it's in words, sometimes it's in action. We have to open our spiritual eyes and ask God to unstop our spiritual ears, that we hear what is not being said. Because sometimes people are saying some stuff, verbally you can hear it, audibly. But they're also saying stuff spiritually. Remember, Sarah, they laugh out loud. The Bible says she laughed inwardly. Hallelujah. But God heard her. Go to Genesis chapter 18. No, let's go to Genesis chapter 18, then 17. Let's go backwards. 18, Genesis, glory to God. Let's hit this in the Logos Bible. I like to use a lot of different Bibles because it just excites you so much to see the different translations and the different writers that make their interpretations by the Spirit and give us more clarity. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18 and 1. Logos. And Yahweh appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and he was sitting in the doorway of the tent at the heat of the day, or in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, three men were standing near him. And he saw them and run from the doorway of the tent to meet them. This is Abraham. And he bowed down to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, do not pass by your servant. In other words, Abraham is forming conversation with God and his messengers. Do we take any time in the day to just lay on your back or on your face and ask God not to pass by? Ask God, just say something to me. Spend a little time with me while I'm here in this room and say something to me, Lord. Lift me up in the spirit and draw me even a little closer to you. Oh, we are so busy about the Joneses and the Jeffersons. We are so busy about all that's going on in the world. We are so caught up with the news this, the news that. We are so caught up with the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the tsunamis and the fires and all the stuff that's happening. Every time you look around, somebody's being shot or stabbed. When you go, you have to pay attention to your surroundings, because you don't know if you're the next one in line to get stopped for not even doing anything, just for being a child of God. I read a thing last night which I almost bring tears to my eyes. This little boy is like about 7 years, 6 or 7 years old. And he died in a car crash. He flew out, his body ran out of the car. And they pronounced him dead at the site. And at the site, God brought him back to life. He was dead. The little boy. Dad died instant. This God that we serve, this master, this sovereign Lord, this Savior, this Redeemer, he is beyond our comprehension. We cannot even comprehend how awesome he is, how mighty he is. We take everything that he's done and everything that he's doing for granted. And we mock it. We look at the world, not us for say, but the world is mocking all that the Bible says about God. People are changing the layout of the Bible now. And they're putting in what they want to put in and saying what they want to say about God's word. Some folk are even saying that God made a mistake. Or the writers who translate, who read it, put it, penned it down, made a mistake when they said God made man out of the dirt. No, some people are saying he reached up in the tree and pulled him down off a limb. All of these foolish things that are going on. But we got to follow this. We that know better got to follow these 66 books. Don't worry about the other 14 that they stole, that they disallowed, that they hide. This is still enough to honor God, these 66. It's still enough to honor God. You know the truth. The spirit, your spirit, bear witness. Your spirit bear witness with the spirit of God. You know what is of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Bible says here, Abraham did not want God and his servants to pass him by. He wanted them to spend some time with him. And he considered that he found favor in the eyes of God and the servants. Because God came by him. He came by his little tent and allowed him to experience his presence. He said, let a little water be brought and wash your feet. This is a Jewish custom. Even the Muslim people do this. Because most of them wear slippers, leather slippers. And they walk through the dirt, the sand and stuff all day long. So they're always wash their feet. Even before they enter the house, they leave the shoes at the door. I work for a Muslim lady, very nice lady, and her family. They loved me when I was in Virginia. Oh, they loved me. These people loved me. And they wouldn't call nobody. So I was working for a company now. And when I went there for the company, they said, well, I know these companies make all this money. Would you like to work for us? We call you when we have a problem, still call the company. They said, yeah. So long, you're going to keep this thing between us because, you know, they tell the company I lose my job. So I would go every time if a faucet broke and the water heater or the heat going out, they were all air conditioned. They would call me and I would fix everything. And then she tell me one day, she said, you know, we have to wash our feet. And they know the garden hose big at the side of the house, and they will wash their feet. When they get out the car, they kick off the slippers or shoes, whatever. Even if they had on shoes on in the car, they take the shoes off at the door, take off their socks, and they wash their feet right at the door, and they have a towel inside the door that they dry their feet off and they step in the door. So I had to install some faucets that is just like, you know, a spray, the spray hose that you have in the kitchen sink. I installed some of those by the bathtub, by the shower, right next to the toilet. So when she could put her feet in the shower and wash her feet off, he can wash. Man, I tell you, so they wash their feet because they're all about not bringing all the outside dirt into the house. So he wants to get the water. Abraham wants to bring water so they can wash their feet because he's inviting them to be in his house, to be with him. And he said, and let me bring a piece of bread, then refresh yourself. Afterward, you can pass on. Once you have passed by with your servant, then they said, do so as you have said. Then Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah he said quickly, make 3 sheaves of fine flour for kneeling and make bread cakes. And Abraham ran to the cattle and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant. And he made haste to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf which he prepared and set it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Here in the tent." She's in the tent. And he said, "I will certainly return to you in the spring. And look, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Sarah was listening at the doorway of the tent. And when she heard this, which was behind him, no. Sarah was in the tent listening in the doorway, which was behind him. And she heard all that the servant of God, that God had said. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, the way of women. You understand? She was past the menstrual cycle stages. That's what they're saying here. Had ceased to be for Sarah. So Sarah lied to herself. Remember I told you? She laughed to herself. She didn't laugh out loud. It would be she laughed, saying, "After I am worn out and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" Then God said to Abraham, "What is this that Sarah laughed, saying, is it indeed true that I will be a child? Now that I have grown old, is anything too difficult or too hard for Yahweh? At the appointed time, I will return to you in the spring, and Sarah shall have his son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," because she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." You see, we try our utmost best to hide stuff from God. We believe that we can do so much and say so much, and God don't see. He doesn't hear. God knows everything. If I drop a needle right now on this carpet, I can't hear it with my fleshly ears. But God can hear it. He can hear the needle. He can hear a whisper. Like Biden is talking loud and out of control. And all of a sudden, he goes into a whisper. God hears it all. He hears it all. Sarah denied. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down upon Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. In other words, Abraham just accompanied them on a little way to the entrance to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Just walk a little way. I believe that he was so enticed with the kindness of accepting his hospitality that he just wanted to be with them a little longer. He went with them a little way. Then Yahweh said, Shall I hide this thing from Abraham, what I'm going to do? Abraham will surely become a great a strong nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed on account of him. For I have chosen him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of Yahweh God, to do righteousness and justice, so that Yahweh may bring Abraham that which he said to him. You see, the thing is all about is keeping the laws of God, keeping God's word. Sometimes we don't want to do what seems right because it affects other people around us. They're not concerned about holiness. They're not concerned about righteousness. They're concerned about living their own lifestyle, doing what seems good to them. And we say, well, you know, I'm not going to say certain things because if I say this, I'm going to offend these people over here. I'm going to offend that group over there. Like the lady who shot up all those people over there in Tennessee. She was gone. She was a transgender person. And she was offended because she is going to the church and the church school is teaching holiness, righteousness, the commandments of God. And see, when we're preaching this stuff and we are telling people that you've got to live this way because you don't live in this way, you're not going to see God, they've become offended because they think that we're against them, their lifestyle. No, we're against you sinning, knowing that you're going to end up in hell. And God does not want to see anyone perish. And this is our assignment, to preach the truth. Why am I going to say I love you and I'm going to tell you a lie? I'll tell you the truth if you kill me. I said, I just lost over $700 or more yesterday. Just lost, lose it. Because of my sanity. Sometimes you have to be willing to lose something to keep your life together. Because people will push you in a corner and make you do things, or not make you, but cause you to do things because nobody can make you do nothing. You got to activate the stuff in you that you want to activate. You can either shut it down or you can open in. I've decided to put all of my anger and all of my old lifestyle in the old box and bury it. So I read if it's $1,000 that you owe me, you don't want to pay me, I said, keep it. God going to make a way for me somehow. And I had walked off a job, yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. And a woman was constantly doing your web. Just give me my money from a material that I bought, and I'm not charging you any labor. I'm out of here. I was there for a day and a half or 2 days. So you know she owed me a lot of money. And I just come out. And I told my wife, I said, you know, there was something about the job that didn't bear witness to my spirit. I didn't want to go to the job to start with. But you got to hear God, and then you can't procrastinate. When God is speaking to your spirit, man, obey the spirit and don't go. Don't go. I let the money go. But here we are. Because we got to get some more of this stuff on. We have to get some more of this good word on here. Listen. Jesus is God is not keeping anything from you or I. I want you to know that. God, he is not keeping anything from us. What we have to do, the dog saw another dog going down the street. What we have to do is that we have to open our spiritual ears. We got to remove the scales, ask God to remove the scales from off our eyes so we see what God is showing us. Hallelujah. So we don't be mistaken. We don't be making mistakes. The Bible says that God see that Abraham will raise up his household. He would raise his children in the right way. He would cause his children to follow after the statutes, after the laws of God, of Yahweh. So then Yahweh said, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very serious, I will go down and I will see. Have they done altogether according to his cry of distress which has come to me? If not, I know. See, God hears the cries. He hears two cries that's going on in the earth. Come on, dog. He hears two cries that are going on in this earth, in the United States, in America, in Africa, in India, in China, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, Egypt, Jerusalem, Israel. He hears the two cries. He hears the cries of wickedness, of evil, and he hears the cries of the saints that are crying out for mercy, for repentance over the world. He hears them. Don't think God, that's why we got to pray. He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, he said, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. But too many people are crying out for a husband. a wife, a new car, a bigger house, more money in the bank, all this stuff they're crying out for. I got some people that call me, and all they do is call me and say, when is the money coming? When? I got a message yesterday that said that it's supposed to happen sometime in the coming week, because Iraq is responsible for the final release going into the digital thing. So he has to wait and trust God. God is coming down. He's sending down. He sent the angels into Sodom. We just read that to check it out. He said, and the men turned from there and went to Sodom, and Abraham was still standing by God. And Abraham drew near to God and said, will you also sweep away the righteous with the wicked? If perhaps there are 50 righteous in the midst of the city, will you also sweep them away and not forgive the place on account of 50 righteous in her midst? Abraham is interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah right now. And we are interceding each day, each night, on our backs, on our knees, for the United States of America, for Africa, for India, for China, for Japan, for Afghanistan, for Syria, for Brazil, for the Philippines, for the Caribbean, for Canada. Hallelujah. For Jerusalem, for each day we are doing this. We're not just picking up one nation or one continent. We're picking up the world, picking on the world, for God to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Abraham could have said, look, Lord, Yahweh, I got my cousin down there. Yes, bring him out and his wife and his children, the two daughters, the two son-in-laws, and then go out and do your stuff. But Abraham was interceding for the whole corrupt city. And he was saying that if there were 50 righteous men, 50 people that obey the laws of God, that adhere to the commands of God, the statutes of God. And he asked, question God, will you still destroy it? God said, no, if I see 50 men in the midst of them, I wouldn't do it. And he said, if you find five less, 45, will you still? And God says to Abraham, no, if I only find 45 righteous, I saved the nation. He went all the way down to 10 people. He said, what if 10 are found there? And he answered, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Then Yahweh left as he finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. God rescued Lot and his two daughters. He rescued them from Sodom. And this was another place in the Bible where there was a, what you call it, incest, when Lot's daughters sleep with him. But let's go to chapter 17. And go to King James Version, chapter 17. Small book. And let's look at verse 4 to 6. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. This is what God promised Abraham. You see, all what's going on in Sodom and everything that come against him, God was preparing Abraham. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Let us see that Abraham laughed first, and Sarah laughed after. So this thing is going on because God promises, yeah and amen. Chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 5. We almost finished. Chapter 15 and verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You see, when we make a decision to believe, to adhere to what God says, God counts it as righteousness. Don't try to second guess God. If God says he's going to heal you, just accept it. Say, Lord, I believe you're going to heal me. And then you got to get to a place where you say, Lord, yes, I believe I'm healed now. I believe I'm healed. Go to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. I believe I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Hallelujah. Yes. Then you say, but I still got pain in my back. But I know I'm healed. It's just a matter of time for that. I still got pain in my neck. I know I'm healed. Oh, I know my eyes are healed. I know my ears are healed because God told me so in the word. He said, I sent my word and heal your disease and free you from a destruction. I received the word in me. Evil no longer has power or authority over me. I walk in the favor of God. I walk in the anointing of God. I walk in the healing power of God. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16. Let's start at verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, you know, God didn't withhold his son either, neither did Abraham. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sun which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Oh, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. See, this is the key here, people. You want your sons and your daughters and your grandsons, you want them to be blessed. Teach them the word of God. Pray over their lives. You obey God. You walk in the righteousness of who God is, the holiness of who God is. Walk in it. Live it. Because when we're trying to teach our grandchildren, they may seem like they're not paying attention, but they're paying attention. I got a granddaughter here. She's at college. And my wife is going away tomorrow morning. Lord, I pray that she get there safe and that she get back safe. She wants to go spend the weekend with Samara, and they're going to go shopping to some stores in that area that she wanted to go and check some stuff out. And I told her, go ahead, you know. But I had to pray for her. My granddaughter's watching me all the time. She watches and she pay attention to everything I say, you know. And I have to keep myself, check myself. You know, they say check yourself before you wreck yourself. Well, I always got to check myself and make sure that I am walking in obedience to God's word, you know. And she said, well, Grandpa, you don't go nowhere. I said, the only way I go is if I'm going outside to work or something like that. I don't go to places like everybody rushing, trying to go this place or go that place. It's no point. I'm not trying to fit in no way. You call it an introvert? Well, you can call me an introvert. I like to be by myself. If I come to visit with you, that's it. If I come to your church and I preach or I don't preach and I hear the word, so be it. That's it. I come back home. I'm going away hanging out, so I got to go to this place and go to that place. I don't do that. That's not part of who I am, you know. Glory to God. So Abraham, not only God blessing Abraham, and he multiplying everything that Abraham touched, but God is doing it to his children and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Why? Because of the righteousness of Abraham. Because of the mindset that Abraham had developed to serve the Lord, his God, with all his heart, mind, body, and soul. We only want to serve him when everything is going well for us. If it's not going our way, it's the highway. That's what we do. That's what we say. And even if we don't say it with our mouth, we say it in our action. If it doesn't fit what I'm looking for, I'm gone. I don't want to be part of it. That's what we tell God. And we say, well, God, give me this assignment. And we testify. God is giving me this assignment. God has did this. God wants me to do this. God. And soon as something don't go, the wind blow, don't blow the way that we want the wind to blow, what we do? Man, I'm no longer with that. That's not part of who I am. I'm done with that. But you testify to God before God's people. God has assigned me this, assigned me that. I was talking to Evangelist Campbell, and she started telling me some things. She said, Dad, I'm sorry about this and sorry about that. I said, nothing to be sorry about. You know, you talk to God about things, you know. Everybody come up short from time to time. I said, talk to God. I don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. I said, but I know I tell God that I will be here with you and I will help you with the land. I said, no, man, because things happen. People change along the way and things happen. But if God has convicted you that what you should be doing, you get back on track. May we all come up short from time to time, but God is so faithful that he always gives us chance after chance after chance. You say, God, I'm going to preach this day, I'm going to preach that day. But when the day comes, you don't show up. And God says, he looks high and he sees low. He sent the angel down to touch your heart, to touch my heart, to convict us, to get back on our knees and repent. And we go on our knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry that, Lord, I know I was supposed to go on Saturday, but I wasn't there Saturday. I know it was supposed to be Sunday. I wasn't there Sunday. So, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. Help me to get right, Lord. I know, Lord, that I don't always get things right. You hear me say that all the time to the Lord. But a lot of times I got to do stuff, and I don't get it right. Not all the time. I get a lot of times I get things right, but there's also a lot of times that I don't get it right. So I have to take myself to him and ask his forgiveness, ask for his mercy. Hallelujah. And I ask for his strength, for him to strengthen me in the areas of my life that I come up short. You got to understand that there's areas that you and I, we come up short. The only body don't come up short is the Lord Jesus. And when you understand that, you will repent. We repent and go back before the Lord. And the Lord says, step back out on the water. When I call you to walk on the water, you refuse to step out. You didn't trust me enough to step out on the water. But now I'm giving you another opportunity to step out on the water, to walk on water. Now you got to take the initiative to walk on the water. And then when you step out the boat, you'll be able to walk on the water. All that means is that you just take the initiative to be obedient. To be obedient to God, that's all. And now you step out on the water and you start walking. Hallelujah. Walking in righteousness, walking holy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Thank you, O God, for the breath that you have breathed into our lungs this morning to give us new life today. Lord, to help us to correct what we didn't fix on yesterday. Father, we ask you to continue to watch over us. Watch over our nation. Watch over our president. Watch over the vice president, the Congress, the senators, Lord, the Supreme Court Justice Department, the magistrates. Oh, God, the police department, the fire department. Lord God, watch over husbands and wives, oh, God, that are going through even right now. We ask, oh, God, that you destroy that yoke of destruction, Lord. Watch over that yoke, Lord. Oh, Father, there's so many people that are getting divorced. They're just leaving their husband, leaving their wives, oh, God, and just getting divorced. Father, we ask you to touch the spirit of marriage. Lord, we ask you to touch that spirit that's in the earth that is causing destruction right now. Even the spirit that is about to bring serious destruction in the earth, Lord, we ask you to touch it, Father. Oh, Father, we pray for the spirit of healing, deliverance, restoration to overtake our nation. Oh, God, we pray for that one today that don't know Jesus to just submit and commit to the way of truth. Father, we know that it's hard for some people that don't understand truth. They were taught a lie, and they were given a lie in place of truth. But we ask, Father God, that you open their spiritual eyes, O God, and unstop their natural ears, O God, that they may hear spiritual things and see the spiritual things that are in the realm of holiness, O God. We pray, Father God, for that sick child, O God, that the doctors say that would not be healed, that would die. And we are asking you, Father God, to bring healing, bring deliverance, and bring restoration. We are praying, Father God.
Oh, Jesus.
We are praying, Father God, for that lady that had cancer, was suffering with cancer and was facing the third surgery. Lord, we pray for healing. That as the doctors go back in there and look at her, we said that last night, we got that word last night from the Lord. When the doctors go back and examine her this third time, they said the cancer had come back. But this time, the Lord says, as we were listening and praying on last night, that they will not find the recurrence of the cancer as they said that they have saw and that they have to do a third surgery. Last year they took off one of her breasts, and now they think they've got to go into tickle some more. But we believe that there will be no need for that when she go back to the hospital. This is happening in somebody's life in Louisiana. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, that means you, I, all people living on this earth, all who can hear my voice out there in computer land, you have been walking in sin. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and repented of your sin, you're still walking in sin. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Doesn't matter how much you give to the church building, how much you pay for the pews or the velour seats or the carpet or the bathroom, how much you donate to the church, if you don't walk in righteousness, you will die in sin. Hallelujah. If you don't totally, completely commit your life and submit your life to Jesus Christ, you'll still end up in the hell furnace. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father through him, except through him. Many people, many well-established people, people of valor, are saying that there's many other ways to the Father. Jesus can't possibly be the only way. That's what they're saying. But my Bible says that Jesus said, he said it himself, that he is the only way. Hallelujah. To the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you want to get to know the Father, you're going to have to first get to know Jesus. And you're going to get to know Jesus by believing that he died on the cross at Calvary. That he died there for our sins. He paid the ultimate price that we owed. We could not pay it. He didn't owe it, but he paid it anyway. He was nailed, he was pierced, he was crowned on the cross. They put the nail through his bones, not through the palm of his hand. It went through a soft part. They went through his wrist. You could hear the bone cracking as the spikes were going through his wrist. And it was ear-piercing. Even the people on the ground was crying out as they could hear the bone cracking as that big steel spike was going through his wrist. And through his instep, putting nailing both of his feet together with one nail. You can imagine getting this one big spike nail about 8 or 9 inches going through 1 foot. And then it once it gets through the one first foot, it got to go through the second foot. So you go through the pain all over again. He beared that. And then when all that was done, was finished for all sins, they put a crown of thorns on his head and pressed them down, making him the king of the Jews, mockery. And the blood began to come down his face, down his brow. And after that, to make sure that he was dead, a soldier came and took a spear and drive it in his side. And blood and water came out. All this he suffered for your sin, our sin. If you don't know him, you can claim that blood and water over your life right now. You can claim that blood and water that came out the side of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, wash me in that blood and that water. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. I confess right now with my mouth. I believe in my heart, according to Romans 10:9, 10, and 11, that God raised you from the dead, Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess in my mouth. And Lord Jesus, I believe this, that you are the Son of the living God. I believe you are the one that was crucified at the cross, the one who gave your life so that I wouldn't have to die spiritually. And Jesus, today I am denouncing Satan and all of the world, all of his agents and the world system. I repent for my sin right now, Jesus. And there are too many for me to count. You know them all. I repent for them right now, Jesus. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, Lord. Have mercy. Extend your grace and your mercy to me. What I don't deserve, I'm asking you to give to me today, Lord. Jesus, my heart is open for you to come in and take control. I no longer want to be controlled over my heart, but I want you to take complete control. I believe you are the living Savior. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. The Bible says in Acts 2:38 that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is so clear. Once you repent, open your mouth, and you repent of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, something happens. because now you have made a decision that you're no longer going to live that lifestyle that you were living. You understand? And you may take the initiative to walk out of darkness and walk into the light of God. You have to take that initiative. You have to make that choice. Nobody can make it for you. You have to make that choice and say, "Look, I'm no longer going to walk that way. I'm no longer going to live this way." And you can't fool around with it, and hoping that something is going to happen. The Bible said there's no neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't hope that some architect or some genealogist or somebody gonna say something or do something and you're going to receive this gift. Jesus said, now you got to come to him just as you are. And you have to repent for your sins. You have to admit that he died. You got to admit and recognize that he was risen from the dead. And it all happens for you. It happens for you because you have submitted your life to him. Your life will never be the same. I'm not saying that you're not going to go through trials and tribulations, because I still go through every day. I go through my fellow workers. I go through people in the field, family members. Oh, I still go through. Why? Because when you are walking in the truth and you have taken the initiative to take on, to walk in the truth, to live in the truth, you're going to be tested. You can't get pure gold without trying it in the fire. You can't get it. You can't get olive until you press the olive. You got to press the seeds in the press. You got to put the olive seeds in the press. And when you press them, the oil comes out. You can't get it. So you have to go through. You have to go through trials and tests in order to become who God called you to be. But while you're going through, you call on God. Say, "Lord Jesus, I feel like I'm in the fire right now. I feel like all hell is breaking loose over me. But I know that, Lord, that I'm not going through it by myself." And you begin to praise him. Because you know some folks say, "Oh, I just thank God because I was wanting this new car and I got the car." You drove the car off the parking lot, it's considered old. The moment used once you drive off the lot. And they praise God for that. But they don't give God enough praise for the blood that he shed at Calvary. The blood that never lost its first estate. The blood is still powerful. It's still fresh. It's still healing. It's still delivering. It's still restoring. The blood is still running everywhere looking for the one that wants to be washed, the one that wants to be clean. We don't praise him enough for that. We praise him for the new house. Praise him that I find my forever help me. And then you don't stay with the person forever. After 6 months, after 18 months, after 2 years, 3 years, you're gone. You got to look for somebody new. But the blood is new upon your life every day. You don't praise him for it. Today, if you heard what I said about salvation, and the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." It shall not whoever believe on him. This is what the Bible says in Acts 10 and 11. Whosoever believe on him shall not pierce him. God so loved his world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall receive the gift of everlasting life. It shall not perish. Everlasting life is at the door. It's knocking for you. God sent his Son in the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I remember when I was to go to, I said, in Virginia, folk, they couldn't wait to get off of work to go to happy hour. And I would watch these men putting their money in the slot just to look in a little peep, or just see a woman dancing half naked, and their money go. Darkness. Darkness can be enticing, but it doesn't satisfy. Jesus is the light of the world, and those that follow him will never walk in darkness. The moment that you, and it don't cost you nothing. He paid it all already. All you have to do is believe and follow. Take up your cross daily. Every day, take up your cross. You're going to face something daily. Be willing to go through for what Christ has done at the cross. If you don't know him, just call upon him and ask him to come on into your heart and make a decision to live for him as he died for us. He made the decision to leave heaven and come to earth so that we would have access to the tree of life. He did that. So now we got to make a decision now to live. He made a decision to die. We got to make the decision to live. When you receive Christ, you receive life. The newness of life, as Paul said, you receive that. So if you receive the prayer of salvation, you said it, you have confessed it, that Jesus is Lord, that he is the risen Lord. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ that we preach and teach about every day. Every day in some capacity or another, we teach about Jesus and the apostles. We teach about holiness and righteousness. We teach about sin and overcoming. We teach about the wickedness that's in the world that we're in, but we're not part of it. We are in the world, but we're not part of it, because we're not living like the world. And call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying your word, getting a better understanding, and that you want to be baptized. And once you get that, before you get baptized, invite your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies, and tell them that you're getting baptized, because you want to have a lot of people there to witness this great occasion. It's very important. This will be your birthday. Whenever day you get baptized will be your new birthday. And God honor your new birthday. The angels will rejoice and be glad, because now that day you'll fully become part of the family of God. Baptism is part of your salvation. Preachers was on YouTube the other day, two Caucasian men, and they were having a debate, very strong debate, argumentative. And they was arguing about, do you have to get, how to be baptized to be saved? But the Bible gives the answer to that in the book of Mark. He gives an answer. You know, so a lot of people, the devil is so smart, he's so slick. He's not so wise, but he's smart. He's cunning, like how he tricked our four parents into God. He's very smart. So now he had these two preachers on YouTube putting on a big show about baptism. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The answer right there. The answer is right there. So they have to argue. All you have to do, don't argue. Let the word speak for itself. God has every answer is in this book. All you have to go do. They say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He was a different dispensation. You know, in this dispensation that we're living in, where we're saved by grace through faith, we have to be baptized. Baptism is part of salvation. It is the door that seals the, I call it the door. The Bible didn't say that. So don't put that on the Bible. That's on me. It is the door that It is your salvation. It's like the icing on the cake, baptism. So you need to be baptized. Okay? Glory to God. Thank God for all you guys that come, all you guys that came on today to hear the word. And we are praying that when we send this out, we'll be on tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock. I don't know who's going to preach that on. Maybe Evangelist Campbell. I will bring our minister on there, Batmas, but she's still under the weather. I know this time, this second term of the COVID really hit her hard. But she's still in the land of the living, so I pray for her every day. She's still in the land of the living. So if anyone wants to add to this sermon today, you can. If not, we're going to pray, and we're going to close out. We thank God for you all being here with us today. The line is open. Well, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word, blessed word that you have given us today. Lord, with new flesh into the city, everything changes, O God. Lord, we pray for deliverance, restoration. Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray for healing. We pray, God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, Lord. That you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers, Lord, that we'll be blessed even the more so that we can be a blessing, O God. We ask you, Father God, to bless our hands, bless our feet, bless our eyes, bless our ears, and bless our mouth, Lord. Let us speak healing to every sick situation, and let us speak deliverance to every thing that's bound up right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, that you will continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go, Lord God. Father, make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, bless us, God, so that we can bless those that are less fortunate than us, O God. Lord, we want to bless the widows. We want to bless the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans. Lord, we pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor George Stewart. We ask you, God, to continue to keep your hands upon their lives, O God. Touch their children and their grandchildren. If there's great-grandchildren, touch them too, Lord. Touch every congregational member, Lord. Touch the ones who control the music, Lord God, and the praise team, Lord God. Touch the choir, Lord. Touch the young people, Lord God. We pray, God, that you cover all the young people in the sanctuary, in that house, oh God. We pray, Father God, Lord God, let the anointing that destroy yokes, oh God, continue to rest upon that house. Oh, Father, we pray, God, that you release the anointing in there that, oh God, destroy the burdens. Not just remove them, but destroy the burdens. Oh God, we ask, oh God, that you add to that local ministry, God. Bring people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, oh God. Even some people that went away from job positions or so, Lord, and they're moving back to the city, Lord. We ask you to bring them back home. Bring them back to their church where they've been fed or where they've been nursed, oh God. We pray, Father God, for Apostles Linda Washington and Apostles Millie Jefferson and Bishop James Washington. Lord, we ask you to continue to cover them. Protect them, shield them, protect them, oh God, from all hurt, harm, and danger. Let sickness have no dominion over their bodies. Lord, we lift up Evangelist Campbell for who she's coming in at night when she get a chance to come and break bread with us. Lord, we ask you to keep her safe and secure. Protect her against all the atmospheric destructions that hit in this city, Lord God. We ask you to cover Minister Batmas, oh God. Lord, we ask you to continue to heal her. Protect her daughter, her mother, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, we ask you to heal her mother's lungs from asthma, Lord God, and control her diabetes. Lord, we ask, Father God, to protect her sisters and her brother, her niece and nephews. Lord, we are praying today for a tsunami of righteousness to pass through their family, oh God. We ask you, God, to heal those that, oh God, still fighting like Paul was kicking against the prick, Lord. We ask God to release the anointing to destroy their yokes, oh God. And Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for for Deacon Fraser, for his mother, for his father. Lord, we ask for healing. We ask for restoration. We ask, oh God, to subdue every sickness, oh God, under the presence of your name, oh God. Let sickness have to bow, oh God. Everything that's not of you and his family, let it have to bow. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, for Prophetess Jackie. Lord God, we pray, God, you continue to heal her life, heal her ministry. Lord, we ask, Lord, to continue to empower her. Touch, oh God, Apostle, Father, we thank you, God. Touch Apostle Millie Jefferson and her family. And Lord, we pray, for Apostle Church in the Ear. Lord God, we pray for her and pray for Evangelist Curtis, oh God, LeGrand. Apostle LeGrand, Lord God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to continue to heal her body, heal her mind, heal her soul. God, continue to add to her ministry. Lord, we pray for Evangelist Sheila Harding. Lord God, we ask, Father God, that you help her to control her tongue. And Father God, we ask you to order her steps in your word. Let your word be a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path. Lord, we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus for Apostle, oh God, Angela Clay. Lord God, we pray, Father God, that you, oh God, watch over her, heal her body. Lord, hey, oh God, I come against the sickness and the pain in her knees. And hey, oh God, we come against the back pain she suffers. Oh God, the arthritic pains. God, you are the God of healing right now. God, we declare, God, you are Jehovah Rapha in her life. Pray for her son that is in prison. Lord, we come against that door right now, that door will be open and that he will be set free. Oh God, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all the apostles, David Mulwar in Kenya. Lord God, Apostle Simon in Kenya. Lord, we pray, oh God, yes, Lord, for Sister Fishner, I think it is, in Nairobi. Lord, we just pray right now for the people of God. Lord God, all over the world, Lord God, that you move, Lord, raise up the Christians, cause them to rise up, oh God, as mighty battle acts, oh God. Cause all the bodies of believers that fallen after the true and living sovereign God, cause them to rise up, oh God, like mighty battle acts. In prayer, oh God, not with weapons, but with prayer. Prayer is our weapon of, is our weapon of warfare, that they begin to pray, begin to intercede for the nations, come against the scientists that are making stuff to destroy mankind. We, oh God, how the, the same robust that they created in China killed 29 people in the lab. And these are the things that they're making now, because they say they're making robots, that sooner the robots will be the ones that they're going to set to war to kill the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People, robots will be going into a city, to a country, and just killing the people. But Lord, we come against every saint, every mad scientist. And Lord God, if it has to be that you have to, oh God, arrest them by force or fire, God, arrest them, Lord. Put them away. Lord God, to put them away somewhere where they can't hurt mankind. Father, we pray today. And we pray, oh God, and we thank you for loving us, oh God, when we didn't love ourselves, for saving us when we couldn't save ourselves, for healing us when we couldn't heal ourselves. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, for taking us through the darkness of the night and bringing us into the brightness of the day. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you continue to illuminate our spirit, man, that you continue to light us up, oh God, to see the things that you would have us to see. And God, we ask you to continue to impregnate us with your word. Oh, Father, fill us. Let our cup overflow. God, we want more. We are hungry and we are thirsty for righteousness. So, God, we ask you to feed us. And, oh, God, give us the drink that we need that would nourish our soul, oh, God, that we will live holy, that we will live, we will walk, oh, God, we will be what we talk. Oh, God, everything that we preach, everything that we teach, oh, God, we will live, oh, God. Father, we ask you to strengthen us in the areas of our lives that we're weak and the areas that we are strong. God, make us even stronger, Lord God. God, we lift up our own family. Lift up Nancy before you. Lift up Benjamin. We lift up Jessica. Oh, God, we lift up Simone. We lift up, oh, God, we lift up Rico and Tremaine and Samara, Lord God, and all of my granddaughters and great-granddaughters. God, we lift up Alicia, Lord God. We lift them up before you right now, God. And Father, we ask even my great-granddaughters that I can't remember their names in, They got these African names in Georgia. Lord, we ask you, God, to, oh, God, to Niger. Oh, God, keep them safe and secure, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you watch over them, keep them. Georgia is a very busy city, but God, we know that you are busy. Oh, Father God, no city can be busier than you. You are in the north, you are in the south, you are in the west, the east, and the west at the same time. And God, we ask you to cover all families. Lord, give them traveling mercy while they're traveling, while they're working. Lord, we ask you to keep them safe on their job, that no hurt, harm, or danger befall them. And Lord, as you do that, Lord God, now we give you glory and honor. Lord, protect the police officers that are going up there, those that are working according to the book, oh God, not the corrupt ones. We ask you to arrest the corrupt ones and convict them in the spirit that they stop being corrupt, oh God, and begin to work according to what the law requires, oh God, that they serve and protect, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that you, oh God, keep the nurses and the doctors, oh God, the EMTs safe as they go out there to go from house to house, oh God, to pick up patients and treat patients. Lord, let them not get hurt or harmed or be in danger, Lord. And even the nurses, they got some nurses that are, they say they're killing the people in the hospital, Lord. We ask you to remove them out the hospital and put nurses that really want to serve, oh God, and cure. Lord, we pray today for doctors, Lord, that they have the mind. They make an oath to prescribe healing, oh God. You do the healing, though. But Lord, they prescribe the medication for to sustain healing, Lord, and you complete the healing. Lord, we ask you, God, to put doctors in the field that really want to serve and not to destroy. And Lord, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' holy name. As we leave this line now, God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide with us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. As we dwell here in the house of the Lord, we forget to pray for Providence Kersey, but the Lord, Lord, we ask you to protect Providence Kersey and her son, oh, Jones, oh God, Darren Jones, Lord, we protect them and keep them safe on the highway while he's driving that big rig. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to bless Kersey with everything that she would have, Lord God. She says she wants to move to Africa. Lord, we pray that she finds her husband find her, that she will be able to go to Africa. Lord, if she do, her husband do find her and she get married to some African man, Lord, let it be a place that she go that she'll be safe, Lord God. Lord God, that somebody don't try to take advantage of her and take her life because she has American accent, Lord. We are praying right now, oh God. We are praying, God, for your protection. We're praying for your mercy, traveling mercy wherever we travel to, Lord God. And Father, we ask, oh God, for you continue to bless us with the right people to work for, to make some money to help the poor. And we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. You all have a blessed day, and we will be on tomorrow afternoon if the Lord stay the same. In Jesus' holy name. Bye-bye.